Healthcare, one American at a time.
We go inside the Beltway to Washington, D.C. to get the true buzz of what's going on. We've been talking about this, obviously, now for weeks. The president and his job speech that's coming up on Thursday. Ellen Ratner joins us from Talk Radio News. Always a pleasure to chat with her. Ellen, that has to be, we're going to talk about the Republicans in a second because they have the debate going on, but that has to be really, truly the biggest buzz. How much money, what's about jobs, things that are leaking out, especially on the heels of Romney's 59-point plan for jobs that he released a couple of days ago in Nevada. So what's the real, true buzz now heading into this speech?
Well, I think the buzz is that he's probably got something for everyone, and is his base going to abandon him and be furious, or what's going to happen? And I just, you know, it'll be very interesting to see what happens.
And Maxine Waters, let me ask you this. Maxine Waters the other day, the congresswoman from California, what was she think? She was saying, I think he needs to be bold and go for a trillion. Don't they know you can't say the word trillion to Americans anymore?
Right. No, you cannot. And you know, he'll never get it. So he might as well go with something that he might actually get in some kind of trade-off.
Yeah, and supposedly the number that we keep hearing, and I'm sure you've heard it too, is the $300 billion.
Right. That's what we're looking at. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. How about the craziness of, and we were talking about this the other day, even with Victoria, we were kicking this around, with John Boehner and Eric Cantor, of course, wanting to huddle with the president before his speech. What's up with that? That's like, you know what that's like? It's like when the Eagles, Ellen, because I know you're such a huge football fan. It's like when the Eagles,
Cowboys
play.
So that they can say, we met with the president and he wasn't moving in our direction kind of thing.
Okay. Well, then actually, then score one for spin, right?
I mean, I think this is all about spin. And actually, tomorrow night we'll be coming to you right from the spin room, or right after we leave the spin room.
Oh, I can't wait till that's live. One last question. What do you make of this GOP debate in California? Think anything's really going to come out of that? In all the polls, the governor of Texas is the front runner right now anyway.
Well, I think that he is a front runner. It'll probably tomorrow till we see how it actually polled. But I'll tell you, just listening to them, I guess I've been in Washington too long, and it's unlistenable. Nothing is coming out. It's terribly surprising.
There you go. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News. We'll talk to you tomorrow or somebody else. Are you going to do it from the spin room?
You're probably here for me tomorrow. You got it.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much. All right, as Ellen was talking about, of course, the Republicans on their game or off their game, another debate. You can certainly say there's been a lot of debating. So if you weren't clear as to where your favorite candidate so far stands, if you intend on voting for one of the Republicans who may end up grabbing the ticket, you're getting at least a little more interesting, I think, as it got later in the debate. You're getting more interesting responses. For example, Mitt Romney and Rick Perry, they absolutely went at each other's throats when it came to jobs and Social Security. So you have a wide chasm as far as what Perry and Romney believe in some cases. They have some strong disbeliefs. They're definitely not down the line in any way, shape, or form the same guy. Because if you look at any of the polls, you know this. We keep talking about it here on America Tonight because I'm the poll princess. So we go through the polls, and all of them have the Texas governor on top. I mean, sometimes almost doubling the number for a Romney. One thing, and remember, Romney, of course, was the former governor of Massachusetts, and Rick Perry has been the governor of Texas, it seems like, forever. And one thing that Romney really defended, he said unemployment was 4.7% when he left office. And then that's when Perry said, yeah, he had a great record creating jobs in the private business, but not so much as a political guy. And he said I've created 1 million jobs in a decade. But see, the response to that would be, what about it's all in the oil and gas industry, right? And of course, Texas is a right to work state, so that makes it a little bit different. And there's no income tax in Texas, so Romney had some things that he could bat around as well. To be clear on who was part of the debate, it was the usual suspects. You know, Newt Gingrich refuses to let go. This guy's wanted to be president forever, so he's still in the race. Rick Santorum was on the stage as well. Michelle Bachmann's up there. Ron Paul. I like a lot of what Ron Paul says as far as money is concerned. The Federal Reserve needs to go. He said that for a long time. In fact, he's been the standard bearer for now decades on some of this stuff, and it's got to be interesting for him to see other people picking up that mantle. Herman Cain, he's also still in this. John Huntsman, all of them on the stage. And as I said, Perry and Romney, too. So everybody was there, and a lot of things were batted around. Mostly, you know, it's pretty much anti-Washington, small government versus big government. A lot of that kind of stuff came up through some of the questions. You had NBC News anchor Brian Williams and Politico editor John Harris, who were the moderators on this one. So here we go again. And there's going to be more of these, to be sure, and we'll be talking about it a little bit later here on this Hour of America Tonight. Also coming up, because I want to set the menu for you so you know what else we have during this 40 minutes or so that we have left, a real treat at the end. This guy was a mover and shaker, still is, in the music industry, because this is my attempt in all the hours that we spend together to give you a little bit of the lighter fare, too, instead of the Kate who's gone wild over all the nonsense that's happened in Washington. So I am a big fan of Led Zeppelin. I was young when Led Zeppelin was in its heyday, but not so young I don't recognize the music, didn't know some of the music, of course. And Led Zeppelin was one of those crazy, crazy big bands in the mid to late 70s. So we're going to have a conversation with Stephen Davis. You might recognize the name. He spent a big chunk of time with Jimmy Page, and Robert Plant and the rest of the crew, and he has some interesting stories to share, so I can't wait for that. That's coming up, though, at the tail end of the hour. Also, we're going to talk about, you got it, Fast and Furious. What's going on there? Is Congressman Issa making any headway when it comes to screaming and yelling and shouting in Washington that somebody has to answer for all of the nonsense with the guns and how the bodies are piling up? So we're going to talk to Larry Platt about that. And he's got an interesting take on what's been happening and things that kind of got shoved under the rug. And, you know, will they come to light? He seems to think so. So we'll talk about that, too. And as I said, in between, we're going to mix in what happened in the Republican debate. And besides that, there were some other things, too, as well. The hunt for Muammar Gaddafi. I'm telling you, it's like, where's Waldo? It really is. Only Waldo carries a big stick in this case, or he did. A lot of people think that he fled the country. No. Really? You think so? I think that's probably a pretty big guess. Also, some good news on the fire front in Texas. The wildfires are raging, but now a little bit under control, and an arson suspect has been almost caught. They're pretty close, they think. Stay with us.
Alan Olson with Midas Resources, senior gold and silver broker since 1978. Over the last 3,000 years, gold has been a storehouse of wealth and has survived nearly 500 paper fiat currencies. Since the 1970s, the fiat U.S. paper dollar has lost over 90% of its purchasing power and is decreasing every day. With the U.S. government that is bent on reckless spending, gold and silver are your only safe havens of protection for your hard-earned paper dollars. Please contact me, Alan Olson, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 127, with your questions or purchases. Let's work together to preserve your assets. 1-800-686-2237, extension 127. Again, 1-800-686-2237. 686-2237, extension 127.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today. The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right. Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS. Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
They did get it on at the Republican debate. Some of the things that I already mentioned, worth letting you hear what was discussed out of the mouths of babes, or perhaps the future president of the United States. 2012, who knows? You know, flip a coin. I'll tell you, a lot of Democrats are either very confident that the president, the incumbent, which usually the incumbent is strong, boom, gets elected again. And then there are other Democrats that I've spoken to in Washington that say the realistic conversation is there are some people that are very nervous about Obama's chances because they're not as confident as some of the other strategists that even though bin Laden, that whole riddle was solved, and there are some other things that you could put on the ledger for this president, people that voted for him in the past are disillusioned because they don't have a job. And the average unemployment looking for a job, you're going at least 10 months. So almost a year. I know people that were out of work 2 years, really, and just did the odd job, whatever they could. It wasn't that, oh, I'm too proud, I made too much money before and I can't do that. They were sending out tons and tons of resumes and talking to a lot of people. It just didn't happen for them. Okay, so it did happen as far as the presidential debate is concerned. You know, who won this debate? Was anybody watching this? Do you think Rick Perry came up strong in this? Mitt Romney? Did he reinforce his points enough? How about Ron Paul? A lot of times Ron Paul gets left out because he's not left out, but he's usually, you know, in these polls, third or fourth. So he's still in the money. He's still definitely in this race. He's not out of it yet, even though there's a lot of territory to be covered. So let's start with Ron Paul. He's heavy, heavy, heavy on the TSA, and you know how we feel about it on this show, some of the crazy things that people have called in and told us about, and some of the things that, frankly, I've seen when I've traveled, and then the no response we get when we try to be fair and, to be honest, get the other point of view, other than the standard John Pistoli, what he's saying, that has the head of TSA, you know, for example, when kids that are babies have to be checked forwards and backwards and turned upside down, that, hey, listen, in other countries, the baby could have a bomb in the diaper. You know, that just doesn't wash with me. It doesn't wash with Ron Paul either. Here's what the congressman from Texas had to say on that point.
The airlines are responsible for carrying their cargo and their passengers. I mean, why should we assume that a bureaucracy can do better? And look at the monstrosity we have at the airports. These TSA agents are abusive.
All right, so he thinks they're abusive. He definitely stands on that. And, of course, taking all the troops out of the Middle East and stop spreading the money around because we, frankly, don't have it. We have to take care of America first. And not keep getting involved in so many other conflicts. That's another strong Paul issue, which he has laid out many, many, many times. Meanwhile, on Social Security, Romney and Perry differ. Listen first to what Mitt Romney has to say about saving Social Security, and Perry, who says it's like a Ponzi scheme.
Our nominee has to be someone who isn't committed to abolishing Social Security, but who's committed to saving Social Security.
Yeah, saving Social Security. So, okay, so now here's what Perry had to say.
It is a Ponzi scheme to tell our kids that are 25 or 30 years old today, you're paying into a program that's going to be there. Anybody that's for the status quo with Social Security today is involved with a monstrous lie.
Yeah, okay. The problem is for the in-betweeners who unfortunately are invested in this. I said this before. The thing that should happen with Social Security is just give us the money you have. Just send us the check now and we'll just have to, either we're going to have to figure out how to invest it ourselves or not. I agree somewhat with Perry. Certainly for any future generations, I don't see how that's going to work out, the Social Security system for my nephew, for example. Anyone who's 10 years old at this point, they can't be counting on that. There is no way. It's too vulnerable, too shaky, and will not stand, at least the way it's run now, it will not stand the test of time. On the other hand, Mitt Romney says a candidate has to be committed to saving Social Security because this is the thing that makes the economy click in a way for certainly older people who haven't had the advantages of these huge, huge jobs and no mechanism to try to put money aside. I mean, that's not exactly the words he used, but that's basically what he means and what he's said in the past. Okay, not to be lost in this whole thing, Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who is so polarizing. People either love Michelle Bachmann or, like Rick in Illinois, he thinks she's batty and there's just no way she should be president, right? But she's definitely a Tea Party favorite. And she won in the Ames straw poll in Iowa, if you remember, last month. And she thinks and says all the time that healthcare reform legislation under this president's leadership is killing job creation and needs to be repealed. So really the theme of the entire evening was centered around money, the economy, the jobs, all that kind of stuff, because that's what Americans really care about. When you're stuck and you're trying to save your house and you're foreclosing, you're getting foreclosed on, you're going through bankruptcies. I mean, crazy things are happening to people. So I just look at the numbers sometimes that are released with a jaundiced eye. And I hate to be so cantankerous, you know, and so cynical. But it's not what I'm hearing. It's not what I'm hearing from anyone, regardless of doing a talk show. I'm not getting that bounce from other people, even people doing well. Like, I'll say upper middle class. Same thing. They're complaining how awful business is and how they're just as caught in the same place as someone who doesn't have quite as much money in the bank. So Newt Gingrich drew some huge applause when he said defeating Obama is the party's top goal. So both he and Romney said the Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke wouldn't serve in their administrations. So that's a good thing. Rick Santorum talked about his record on welfare reform and says that, you know, you have to get out of that kind of a system. And that's pretty much what we saw from this debate. And it's one of seven that are going to be going on until the end of the year. The next one is actually all about CNN. It's the CNN Tea Party debate on Monday. So how about that? We'll see if anything changes between now and Monday. Of course, the president in between has his job speech, so we'll see. All right, quickly, I want to tell you this because so many of you have sent wonderful emails asking me about what's happening in Texas, concerned about how many houses have gone. It's just like a puff of smoke in Austin. It's terrible. From the air, it looks horrific. And here's the thing. At this point, they're starting to get a handle more on the fires. I mean, it's not completely out, but they've contained some of the fires because, you know, they are naming them different things, but they're all in central Texas for the most part outside of the state capital. And there have been millions of dollars in damage. And for, you know, for 300 days, wildfires have been a part of the culture, have been taking a huge toll on Texas. There are a lot of communities that have had these dangerous conditions. But now here's the thing. In the one town 60 miles northwest of Bastrop, it's called, there was a fire that just raged out of control and 8 houses, I mean hundreds of houses, gone in this wooded area. And they're looking for teenagers, sadly. They've got 4 suspects, 2 boys and 2 girls they're trying to find, 15 and 16 years old, and they believe they're the ones who set that fire based on some of the things they've found and what people have told them. In the meantime, all told, and this is not 100% official because it keeps changing, as you can imagine. Like, across Texas, at least 33,000 acres, you know, that's where the fire is gone. They've evacuated 5,000 people. They've lost at least 700 homes. Wow, 700 homes. It's pretty shocking. I mean, just awful. Just terrible. And then a couple of people have died as well. And then people have gone back and risked it to go back and see what's happened in their house. And, boy, that's rough. You got to step away from the house when the fire gets close, I'll tell you. Hang with us, everybody.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I filed from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you Himbi and Super Fem Plex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. Well, you know how I feel about the Second Amendment. I mean, I think from day one, I made my position very, very clear, and so have many of you who listen to this show. We have talked a lot about ATF's Fast and Furious, and the body count keeps on coming, sadly. You know, we're talking like 200 or some such thing. I think it's even higher than that at this point. But yet, people get promoted, and nobody goes down for this. Nobody is answering for this. I don't understand how it just gets buried. So who better to have on the show? We're thrilled to have him, Larry Pratt, the Executive Director of Gun Owners of America. He's held that position for a whopping 3 decades, as you also know, we've talked about before, a big-time membership. Over 300,000 and counting Americans are part of the GOA, and, of course, dedicated to promoting Second Amendment freedoms. Larry, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. To continue your deadly sense of humor, we have come to the conclusion that among the few industries to genuinely get stimulated by the stimulus money was the Mexican undertaker business, because they've obviously had an uptick in people they have to bury because of what we've done to their country through Fast and Furious.
Yeah, and how come at this point, and I know there have been some people on the Hill who have really tried to push the ball forward on this and get some answers, but my feeling is, as long as you have the Attorney General, Eric Holder, in the position he's in, you know, look, no, including his position, nobody's going to answer for this, even though we're all outraged. Do you think that, sadly, is the case?
There's plenty of truth to that, but let me give you a couple of interesting things. One is the U.S. attorney in Phoenix was fired last week. He's the only person to have been sanctioned truly for his involvement in this. And the suspicion is that he wasn't fired because he got caught covering up with a deputy of his that the day after Border Patrol agent Brian Terry was murdered and they realized, oh, those two guns, those were ours from Fast and Furious. And so in email, the two of them discussed, maybe we shouldn't just disclose this at all. And so supposedly that's what he got fired for. But my guess is that he had been one to rat out people above him. He wasn't going to be the guy to fall on the sword. So I think it was a reprisal, frankly, because there's a whole bunch of other people that ought to be sitting with him in the penalty box. This is something that they have not wanted to deal with, but there are a couple of avenues short of getting a new sheriff in town,
sure,
which I devoutly hope we do.
Right.
One is that the House could vote to have an independent counsel. That person could be put in the office of the sergeant-at-arms, who happens to be the chief of a fairly large police force, the Capitol Hill Police Force.
Mm.
And if the independent counsel is able to develop a case, and I don't know what kind of presentment it might be. I'm not sure if it would have to be another vote of the House. But in any case, they could come up with charges for any crime allegedly committed in the Capitol. And an arrest for that could be made by those Capitol Hill police anywhere in the District of Columbia. So one sign that we had a counsel who was getting close would be some of the officials of the Department of Justice begin telecommuting from their suburban homes. Now, the other thing that could be done, anybody that was part of these crimes in Arizona, I would think first and foremost of the Phoenix office chief, William Newell.
Mm.
He could be a prosecutor, the attorney general, county prosecutor, could go to a grand jury and seek an indictment for things like reckless endangerment, conspiracy to commit murder. And if, in fact, he got an indictment, then the people involved could be extradited back to Arizona. And it's interesting that the net could be spread farther, at least on the conspiracy charge, than just people that were operating full-time in Arizona, because various functionaries of the Department of Justice and the then head of the ATF had made trips to Arizona specifically to discuss this program. So the net could be spread fairly wide from that avenue. But what I see right now is ICE has got several balls in the air. He's the head of the oversight committee that's looking into this scandal. Among other things, he's looking at ways to, I think, try to stop the FCC from putting the kibosh on the Internet. And I think that's pretty important, too, because that's our first line of defense anymore.
Yep.
With email. By the way, I'd invite people to go to gunowners.org and sign up for our email alerts, because that's the way, with the embedded email we put in there to send up to the Congress, that we keep the heat on these guys and let them know that these issues are active and we're watching. But ISA is moving methodically, if not rapidly, and he's got a couple more hearings scheduled, and there's going to be one, if not two, next month. And then if that's all he needs, he needs to then consider getting some sort of action considered by his committee. Is he going to go for a contempt of Congress? Well, as you've indicated, there's really not any way to enforce that physically while this regime is in power. So we've urged his office to consider the independent counsel route, and that could still happen. Because if ISA develops the goods, so to speak, develops the case, then the counsel becomes almost more of an administrator rather than somebody that has to do a lot of spade work on his own. And this thing could at that point conceivably move fairly quickly. But we're whatever is going to be done, we're moving up closer and closer to an election. And frankly, one of the things that should be done now, and the debate hopefully tonight will have at least one of the candidates bring this scandal up. I mean, almost daily now we're getting new information about it. You've probably heard, maybe have already discussed it. It was discovered just a day or so ago that they'd been doing fast and furious kinds of things in Indiana,
yeah,
in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's just you. have some reason to think that it wouldn't have been every field office, because some of the management of those offices probably have made the decision that they're not going to rise any higher. They're not going to give up their integrity to rise higher and go to Washington or something like that. And so we understand, I can't tell you this is an absolute fact, that Miami had been urged to partner with Tampa when they had a guy putting containers full of rifles to send off to the cartel of Honduras. So we think the Miami office said, that's nuts, just like the agents in the Phoenix office were telling Newell, this is nuts.
Yeah.
So as much as I want to get rid of the ATF, it's not a constitutional agency. Having said that, and all the more, it's important to add, but there are people of integrity working in that dreadful organization. God bless them. We wouldn't know about this if there weren't, because they're the ones that blew the whistle. They'd still be running guns down to Mexico.
Yeah, I agree. It was so shocking when this story broke, and I have some friends who have worked in the past for the ATF, frankly, too, who left because of some of the boondoggles that they saw that they had to endure when they were in that line of work, and so they went.
I've talked to such people, and they have trouble when they leave if they want to remain in police work, because they're going to have a boo-boo on their record put there by very vindictive people who, as I'm sure you've discussed, got rid of two of the agents that were complaining about this and had blown whistles, and they've done reprisals against others. These guys are nasty to everybody. They're equal opportunity tyrants.
Yeah. What was behind this? Was it a colossal blunder, or you think there was more of a setup?
We have the smoking gun on that.
Yeah.
We have email that were exchanged between Newell and the guy in the White House, Kevin O'Reilly, National Security Council member, actually assigned from the State Department. State Department was in on this, too, actually, at the foundational meeting in October of 2009. And O'Reilly is asking Newell in Phoenix, hey, have any of your Fast and Furious guns turned up at crime scenes? We'd like to use that to justify a demand letter. The demand letter he's talking about is the one after they got caught in a conspiracy for murder, they went and said, hey, we need more gun control over these civilians. And so the four Southwest border states are being, the gun stores are being compelled to submit multiple sales reports for anybody buying a rifle, two or more, within a five-day period. And that's against federal law. The federal law says you can only require multiple sales reports on handguns.
Yeah, crazy.
Details.
Exactly.
Wanted gun control. They wanted to change the dial on the debate. They knew it was toxic the way it was. They had to have a game changer. What better way than, hey, it's only mostly Mexicans. That doesn't, you know, it's little brown people.
Oh, but that's politically incorrect. You know, that would never be in an email anywhere. But you're right. I agree with you 100% because that's what I was scooping out before all that happened. And as you talked about the tie to the White House and saying, well, this was the spin on the whole thing about a way with this to track the guns and to try to find out where they were going and give me a break. I mean, the whole.
May I point out that someday I think it's much more likely than not that William Newell, head of the Phoenix office, is going to be occupying a bench at our expense for quite some time for perjury. Back in the middle of last year, he and three members, including Kevin O'Reilly, of the National Security Council. They work in the White House. So we're getting close to the president if we're not there yet. Newell was saying, guys, can't you persuade the Mexicans to cooperate with us in tracing these guns? Because, you know, once they leave, we don't have any control. Well, he testified that that never happened and that he never would have allowed that and never knew that to happen.
Larry Pratt, Executive Director of Gun Owners of America, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Such memories when I think of Led Zeppelin. Some of them I think I can tell on the air to all of you across America listening to America Tonight. I'm pleased to welcome to the show someone who knows all about Led Zeppelin and touring. Stephen Davis joins us. He's got a book out called LZ-75, The Lost Chronicles of Led Zeppelin's 1975 American Tour. Stephen, how are you?
I'm fine, fine. Thank you so much for having me on.
Let's set this up. You're a rock writer. It's 1975. You're on assignment. You're writing for the Atlantic Monthly. What were your expectations when you were hooking up with Zeppelin going into this?
Well, Kate, I thought I was about to enter an English rock star hellmouth, you know, of debauchery and decadence and all that stuff that the early Led Zeppelin had in, accrued to their reputation. And instead, I joined the tour in Chicago on a very cold winter day, and I found the singer Robert Plant with the flu. He was so sick he could hardly sing, and the guitar player Jimmy Page had a broken finger and fairly obvious substance abuse issues, and the drummer was intoxicated all the time and dangerous.
Ooh.
And the bass player seemed clinically depressed and played a lot of boring keyboard solos. And as I thought to myself, what happened to the English rock star hellmouth? You know, this is more like a backstage rest home or a clinic. These guys were very ill and cold and homesick and missed their wives and girlfriends and their kids. And they still had to go out and be completely brilliant and be Led Zeppelin 3 or 4 nights a week in front of 20,000 kids. So the whole stress and emotional, you know, issues involved in all this stuff were very fascinating to me. And it was something that no one, you know, had seen before. So when I was on this tour, I kept a bunch of notebooks, and I lost them for 30 years. And when I finally found them again in 2005, I started reading these stories. And they were also surreal. They were like surreal and lurid and some of them very boring, you know, like kind of like classic rock itself. And I thought to myself, this would make a really good book just about this band's 1 year at the height of their, you know, career when, you know, things weren't always going so great for them, kind of shadows and light, you know. So
yeah.
Like Led Zeppelin itself for their music.
Yeah, no kidding. And it was right when they were promoting their huge album, Physical Graffiti. So when they went on stage, what was the transformation? Because you saw them down and out, and then you're covering them, and you watch them get in front of the crowd, I assume, in Chicago. What was that like once the lights went up, the house lights went up, and people, of course, were crazy for them then?
Well, I'd love to say that they transformed themselves into the gods of classic rock, you know, but actually, one of the charms of this book, if it has any, is about all the nights when the shows kind of sucked, you know, when they weren't playing that well and the audiences were unresponsive and they were very frustrated. You mentioned Physical Graffiti. This was their new album in 1975, and they were extremely proud of this new music and were, you know, really, really wanted to come and stun their American fans with their current, you know, stuff, their music. But unfortunately, they went on tour before the album came out, so the music was unfamiliar. And one of the earliest things I noticed going to the shows was that they would start the shows with something, you know, a blast off like rock and roll, and then they would play Over the Hills and Far Away or The Ocean or something the kids had been very familiar with. And then Robert Plant would come to the front of the stage and say, you know, now we're going to do Kashmir from our new album, and we're really proud of it, and we really hope you like it. And they would start to play, and 20,000 kids would go to the bathroom. Because it was completely unfamiliar to the kids, and they wanted to hear the hits like kids always do. So then Kashmir would be finished, and Led Zeppelin would be astonished to be playing to like a third of the hall. And then all the kids would file back in. They'd play Whole Lot of Love and the Moby Dick, and the kids would go bonkers again. And then Robert Plant would come to the front of the stage and go, well, now we're going to do In My Time of Dying or Trampled Underfoot. It's from our new album. Really proud of it. We hope you like it. And they'd go into the song, and then 20,000 kids would go get a beer. And it would be the same thing over again because the kids were just not familiar with this stuff. And it was a different kind of Led Zeppelin than they were used to.
Yeah.
So after the shows, the band would be backstage or on the plane going, you know, why is this happening to us? What a nightmare. You know, all the kids are leaving the halls when we're playing our new stuff. And I'm there in the corner taking notes, you know, and I thought this was a really fascinating, you know, way to look at Led Zeppelin that no one really had seen before. So that's this book, LZ75.
So you, and you're talking about Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. You did interviews with them, obviously. What was, and you said when you hooked up with Page the first time, you know, he'd hurt his finger. What was Page like? One of my favorite axemen, by the way. What was he like in conversation?
Well, he was very exhausted and didn't feel well, and he was medicating his hand with, you know, what I could see was Jack Daniels, but I heard that there were, you know, other medications at work as well. So he was very quiet. He spoke in almost a whisper. You'd go into his hotel suite, and there'd be some Bob Marley music playing softly and a lot of candles and the curtains drawn. And, you know, it was like talking to kind of a wizard. He had very long hair and you know, 29 years old, you know, 20, 30, not even 30 yet, I don't think. And you know, at the height of his powers, and yet very quiet. But, you know, the transformation you mentioned before would be most obvious on him when he would come on stage, because he would just light up like a Roman candle. And one of the things, you know, in those days, concerts were different. Led Zeppelin would come on stage, and the kids would start throwing cherry bombs and firecrackers at them. You know, and this seemed to set something in Led Zeppelin off. And they often kind of worked on this negative energy that they got from the crowd, and would throw it back to them in terms of positive energy. So there was this very interesting exchange of vibes and energy between Led Zeppelin and their audiences, especially on the West Coast you know, in sort of the major cities like that, and they fed off their audience, and once again though some nights were not very good, and the band knew about it, and they would you know be depressed, so it's that kind of mixture of light and shade that I'm kind of after in this book, LZ75.
Yeah, also in the book you talk about this, and I know the audience, this revelation would be huge. Who was it, and I don't know why I don't know this, but who was the rock star that moonlighted as a heroin dealer?
Well, there was one in Los Angeles, and I don't want to say his name because it's, you know, one of those things that I'd rather people read in the book. But his His real name is Jimmy Osterberg. So anyone who's like a rock trivia guy, you know, can convert that to, you know, the guy's stage name and find out who's who I'm talking about.
There you go. We have a prize for somebody who does that. 800-259-5791. I'm gonna use that and prompt people. What about just a couple of more? What about Riot House? What happened at Riot House?
Well, the back in those days, all the bands stayed at the Continental Hyatt House on Sunset Boulevard, but the locals called it the Riot House when Led Zeppelin stayed there, because they would take over entire floors that would be guarded by moonlighting FBI agents, and they'd be running motorcycles up and down the hall and throwing TVs off the balcony and you know, doing not so much that tour, but, you know, that's what that hotel was famous for. And one of the funny things was, when I was researching the book, I went to the Riot House where I'd stayed 35 years ago with the band, but now it was called the Andaz West Hollywood, and they'd closed off all the balconies and made them sunrooms, and so you couldn't throw a TV off the balcony onto Sunset Boulevard anymore, which I thought was a very sad commentary on Los Angeles in the 21st century, but anyway,
No kidding. One last one we got to ask you is, you have to reveal something. We promise we'll buy the book. Who is the lover in Black Country Woman? Who is it?
I don't want to say.
Oh!
I'll tell you. I can tell you. Once again, it's like saying who the murderer, who done it, in the who done it. You know, and I want the reader to kind of work up to that at the end. But I can tell you that it was someone who was very close to Robert Plant, who should not have been very close to Robert Plant.
Oh, okay, that's a hint there. This has been your life. You've hung out with rock stars and rock bands and all these sort of people. And you've got something. Somebody was telling me you've got a book coming out about Carly Simon. That's going to be great. I can't wait to hear that. Read that one. But of all the people that you covered, Stephen, who's your favorite? Was there one favorite? One favorite rocker person? Who was it?
The one I respected most was Bob Marley, but the one I really loved the most was Michael Jackson. I was the ghostwriter for his book Moonwalk, and I spent about 8 months with him, and I really thought he was just great, and it may be that everything you ever heard about him was true, but I personally don't believe it. So that's my answer.
Wow. And Bob Marley, was he just great to be around?
Well, Bob Marley was incredible to be around in 1975, around the same time as Led Zeppelin. When I wasn't with Led Zeppelin, I was down in Jamaica with Bob Marley, and that was very inspiring because he was really leading a revolution for not only a country but the whole third world. So that was great.
Yeah, no kidding. What a great life. What's next? I said Carly Simon. You just keep doing it, right?
I'm thinking about Stevie Nicks. What do you think?
Love Stevie Nicks. Can I be there when you do one of those interviews?
No, if she'll talk to me, I don't know. But I think the pages would turn, don't you?
I think the pages would turn. I have some questions, definitely. Stephen, you're delightful. Stephen Davis, of course, LZ75, as he said, The Lost Chronicles of Led Zeppelin's 1975 American Tour. Pick it up. Thanks, Stephen.